16. Romans chapter 6, chapter 16. The Bible? Yeah, the Bible, you know the book of Romans? Romans?
Yes.
You know what that is? Somebody help Keith find Romans, can you? Yes.
There we go. Okay. Romans chapter 16. I wish we could do more about the temperature in the building here. When we get here in the mornings, it's pretty cold, isn't it? You know, at least.
Well, we turn them off during the message because they're just too loud. Can't talk over them yet. But they've been running for almost an hour now, and they've heated the ceiling pretty well. It's the floor that's the problem. All the heat goes up there. So, Romans chapter 16. Let's continue with our study here. We're looking at the verses on establishing the believer. Romans chapter 16, and notice at verse 25, Romans 16, 25, it says this: Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we do thank you again that we can gather this morning around your word and allow your word to be the source of our edification and produce edification in us. And we know, God, as we read this and trust what your word says, that indeed we as members one of another and members of the body of Christ, we will be edified. We pray that as we do so, that we would take these things into our thinking and allow them to be the viewpoint that we live our lives for your glory and honor, in Christ's name. Amen. All right. We have spent a couple of weeks now here, Romans 16, 25. We're really attempting to wrap up our overview of the book of Romans, but we need to slow down and have needed to slow down here at verse 25 and 26. Here in these passages, you find the edification plan, the threefold edification plan of the believer. So let's real quickly review. The first part, or the first stage, or the first step in the edification is what the Apostle Paul calls my gospel. Everybody remember that? You've got to get that first. You're not going to get further along in the edification process if you don't understand Paul's gospel. And we said that there were two aspects to that. When he says my gospel, the my part of my gospel is the uniqueness of it, that which was committed to Paul's trust, as compared to that which was committed to the trust of Peter and those that were apostles with Peter. So we talked about that already. The gospel part, the good news part, was that God takes a prophesied event, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, which was a prophesied event, right? It's in the Old Testament. God takes a prophesied event, and then through the information given to the Apostle Paul, he attributes to that prophesied event an unprophesied application. He takes a prophesied event and reveals to the Apostle Paul an unprophesied meaning. So those are the two aspects there of my gospel. And that is phase number one of the edification process. Now, as you move on from there, phase number two is what he calls the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. And that's really where we are today. We in our study this morning, we started to look at that last time. We have a lot of detail to go over this morning and so forth. But that's really phase two of the edification of the believer. But you're not going to get that until you first have Paul's gospel. You're not going to appreciate this until you first understand Paul's gospel. All right? And then, so we're going to come back to number two here in just a moment. Number three, he says, the scriptures of the prophets. Scriptures of the prophets. And in that, what Paul's talking about there is everything else in the Bible. Everything else outside of Paul's epistles. Everything else except Paul's epistles. When Paul talks about the scriptures of the prophets. There are oftentimes questions that have come up about that phrase, the scriptures of the prophets. Some would say that the phrase there The scriptures of the prophets is actually a reference to Paul's writings. Sometimes you will hear it retranslated, and they'll call it prophetic writings, meaning Paul's writings. That's kind of a popular view among some grace people and so forth. But I don't think at all that that's what Paul is talking about in that passage. You need all of the Word of God to be established. You have to have all of Scripture to be established and edified. And so the threefold pattern here is you're going to get Paul's gospel, you're going to get the revelation of the mystery, and then from these two, you'll be able to understand the rest of the Bible, is the key there. Now, there's a verse that really kind of summarizes that point, that when you get Paul's message, that's how you'll understand the rest of the Bible. If you look with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. You want to have 2 Timothy 2, verses 6 to 7. 2 Timothy 2, verses 6. Actually, it's 7 and 8. Let me make verse 7 and 8. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Okay? Look at those verses. The Apostle Paul says this, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give the understanding in all things." Do you see what that verse says? I remember a number of years ago when we first came to Southern California. I think that was probably in 1980. I forget now. I should remember, right? But it's okay. And when we were having a Bible study up here at the time, it was the home of Hank and Eleanor Smitke. I don't know that y'all would have known him. Keith would have remembered them, the Schmidtkes. And, of course, I was brand new to the message of grace and so forth and eagerly wanting to learn all that I could. And we were talking about 2 Timothy, and Hank pointed out that verse to me. He said, "John, you ever really thought about that verse?" And, of course, anytime somebody says that, you know, you can either say, "Oh, yeah, yeah, what's this guy going to tell me?" You know, or you can say, "You know, I've thought about it, but yeah, what light do you have on that verse that I need and I can use?" Which is what you want to say, right? You always, okay, yeah, what bit of light do you have on it? Because I can show you some here. And that's what he said. He said, "You know, if you'll consider what Paul says, that's how the Lord gives you understanding in all things." And I went, "Yeah, I see that there. And how true that is." So when you think about the edification process, you got to get Paul's gospel and you got to get the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. And when you understand that, when you get a grasp on that, that's how you'll understand the scriptures of the prophets. You will not understand the scriptures of the prophets. You won't understand the prophetic program without understanding Paul's ministry. You won't understand about the delay. You won't understand what happened to the kingdom. You have to have Paul's message. You have to have Paul's viewpoint of what's going on in this world in order to figure out what's going on in this world. You've got to have Paul's ministry in order to figure out the rest of the scriptures, okay? So that phrase there, the scriptures of the prophets, is not a reference to Paul's writings. It's a reference to the rest of the Bible. You need all the Bible to be established. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Okay? Now stay there in that passage. You should still be there in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7 again. He says, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David..." Okay, now that's prophecy, right? If he's the seed of David, that's prophecy. But it says, "was raised from the dead according to what?" That's mystery. See that? Jesus Christ is the seed of David. So it's the one who was the prophesied Messiah. He was raised from the dead. And certainly there was a prophesied meaning to the resurrection. But Paul's talking about an unprophesied application of the resurrection. See that? Remember that Jesus Christ is the seed of David. So the same one, prophesied Messiah, was raised from the dead, and prophecy said he would be raised from the dead, and prophecy gave a meaning to it. But Paul says, "Remember that he was raised from the dead according to my gospel." So there's an unprophesied meaning also to the resurrection of Christ. Last week we talked about the fact that there was a prophesied meaning to the death of Christ, and there's also an unprophesied meaning to the death of Christ. Well, here he's emphasizing the resurrection. There's a prophesied meaning to the resurrection of Christ and an unprophesied meaning to the resurrection of Christ. See that? Okay, so what we really want to do today, however, because we're really not on phase three yet, we're back under here, phase two of the edification of the believer, under the revelation of the mystery. That's where we want to spend our time today, and I don't think we're going to get through this today, certainly by any means, but we at least can look at some highlights here, okay? So, I guess I need to keep that up here. So on the top of your notes, I hope that you're taking notes. You're going to write down the mystery. Or you could write down the revelation. Revelation of the mystery. However you want to do it. Revelation of the mystery or the mystery. And the question often comes up, well, what exactly is the mystery? If you want to do an experiment, a case study, go out to 10 professing Christians. I say 10, just a random number of professing Christians. And ask them, have you heard of the mystery? And see what kind of response you get. Okay, what do you need, a pen?
I might have one. What's that? Tell you what, here's one here. Oh, you got one? Okay, great. Okay, so here's a little homework assignment for you. Is go up to 10 people who profess to be Christians. Hopefully they are, but... and ask them, what is the mystery? The Apostle Paul uses the word mystery many times in his writings. Well, what is the mystery? And ask them and see what they say. What is the revelation of the mystery? What do you suppose answer you're going to get?
Well, we can't understand everything. That's why we have to listen.
Okay. Okay, you really can't understand, so you just have to listen to the voice of God.
What mystery?
Some will say, well, what mystery? I don't know what you're talking about. What else will they say? Most of them are going to say, what mystery are you talking about? Okay. So then you're going to say, well, the mystery that the Apostle Paul talks about when he talks about the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. He says he wants to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. So do you see it? Do you know what it is? Now what are they going to say? Well, that's what you're going to say. Yeah, they're going to say, Paul who?
They're going to say, well, I think
now, the fact is, that when you go out and you talk to Christian people and ask them, have you ever heard of the revelation of the mystery? They're going to say, what's that? Oh, did it fall off? Yeah, it did.
I guess better than the microphone fell down. I guess that's better than my pants falling down, right? That way I might have noticed more quickly, right? So, I know. Okay, is that good? Is that better than that? All right, good. I knew something was up, you know. So, all right. Anyway, so if you were to ask somebody revelation of the mystery, the absolute majority of Christianity has no clue what you're talking about. Okay? Just no idea at all what you're talking about. Well, we don't want to be that way. Listen, it's this important. If, in order for the believer to be established, you have to know Paul's gospel and you have to know the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, well then, if Christian people don't know what the mystery is, what is their state of edification? Let me say that again. Okay. If in order for the believer today to be established by knowing Paul's gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to revelation of the mystery, if that's true, then if Christian people don't know what the revelation of the mystery is, then what is the state of their edification? And absolutely, you bet, it doesn't exist.
They don't understand the past, the present.
They don't know what's going on. It's no wonder there's so much confusion out there. Well, what we want to do is we do want to understand what the revelation of the mystery is. Now, what else is interesting is that among grace people, there actually is some confusion about what the mystery is. And it's, you know, sometimes we'll get emails, John, what is your view of the mystery or that type of thing? Well, so let's say it this way. If you look at the phrase, the mystery, look at it this way. That phrase, the mystery, that really is the theme of Paul's ministry. Now, by comparison, when John the Baptist was here on this earth, he told Israel to repent. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven was then at hand. The Lord Jesus Christ sent the 12 apostles out preaching, repent. Why? The kingdom of heaven was at hand. The theme of Christ's ministry, the theme of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When you're reading the Gospels, all the events that are happening, all the details, the miracles, the signs, the wonders, etc., the gathering together of the little flock, all of that is happening because and in relationship to the fact that, prophetically speaking, the kingdom of heaven was then at hand. So when you're reading the Gospels, the theme is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When you read the Gospels, you always got to keep that in the back of your mind. By contrast now, when you come to Paul's epistles, the theme of Paul's epistles is the mystery. That's the theme of Paul's epistles. All right? Everything that's going on now in the dispensation of grace is going on in relationship to and because of what Paul refers to as the mystery. Having said that, when you take in Paul's epistles and look up every reference to the word mystery, what you're going to find is that there are actually seven different aspects or parts of the mystery. There are seven different aspects or parts that comprise the mystery. Now, once again, let me make a parallel. Just like when we said in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that the theme is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, there are a lot of parts that come together that make that so. The timing, for example, Daniel's prophecy. The forerunner, John, was sent. The Messiah was there. He had the signs, miracles, and wonders. He was gathering together the little flock, and so on. So you see how even though the theme itself was the kingdom of heaven was at hand, there are many parts to that theme. Okay? So too, when we say that the theme of Paul's ministry is the mystery, there are several parts of and to the mystery. And in particular, there are seven aspects. There are seven aspects of the mystery. When you see the Apostle Paul talking about the mystery, there are actually seven different aspects or parts to that issue. And what we're going to do today is we're going to start looking at those seven parts. Okay, number one. So the first part or first aspect, these are not necessarily in the order of importance or priority. It's just in my mind, it's kind of the way to logically present them, at least as far as I see it and so forth. Okay, number one is the dispensation of grace itself was a mystery. The dispensation of the grace of God itself was a mystery. The dispensation of the grace of God was something that God did not prophesy in the Old Testament or Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that He was going to have. The dispensation itself, the interruption of the prophetic program and its delay and so forth, the fact that God was going to stop prophecy and insert into that stoppage and so forth, He was going to insert a grace, an offer of grace to humanity apart from prophecy and apart from Israel, that was a mystery. Okay? Now, I really needed to do something first before we said that. We need to define the word mystery as used by the Apostle Paul. Okay, we need to go back. So I'm backtracking a little bit just now, all right? So let's look at the word mystery itself And let's let the Scripture give us a definition. You don't need to run to the Greek and the Hebrew, and this would be Greek in the New Testament, but you don't need to run to the Greek and so forth to find out what the Apostle Paul means when he uses the word mystery. If you go with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Now watch this. Let's see if we can figure out how Paul uses this word. How in the sense of to define it. So look over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and start with me at verse 6. 1 Corinthians 2, 6 says this. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Okay, now, my question is, how is Paul helping us in this verse to understand the definition of the word mystery as he uses it? I'm not asking what is the mystery in this verse. I'm asking, does this passage help us understand how to define the word as he uses it? And if so, what is it? Okay, so you, obviously something that was... What word does he use? Not withheld. Okay, something that was hidden. Wisdom that was hidden. And now there's one. There's a third aspect. We're missing it. The third aspect. Something that was ordained before the world, but there's something else that we're missing. It's the obvious one. Okay. Okay. There's something we're missing. There's three aspects, three ideas to the word mystery that together paint the picture of how the word is used by Paul. It was wisdom. No, that's what it contains. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for what the word wisdom, what the mystery contains. What I'm looking is, how do we define the word?
Eternal.
No. It's wisdom. We're missing the obvious one. It's wisdom that was hidden. It's wisdom that was hidden, but is what? Yes, there it is. But it's now revealed. That's the obvious one. How can we miss that one? Do you see it? Well, that's a very... Okay, where is it? Verse 6. Howbeit we what? We speak. We're talking it. We're revealing it now. See that? Everybody see it? So what you know is that when you see the word as used by the Apostle Paul, when you see the word as used by the Apostle Paul, the word is going to be some... the way to define the word is going to be wisdom that was hidden, but has since been revealed. Now, we haven't defined what the wisdom is. We haven't said where it was hidden or why. All we've said is, and actually, we haven't even talked about the issue revealed. All we're simply saying is this. The use of the word mystery as used by the Apostle Paul, it isn't something, mysterious or unknowable. A lot of times those that are involved in Eastern religion type stuff, and even in some sects of Christianity, some groups in Christianity, they talk about, well, those are just the mysteries of the faith. What do they mean by that? That means something you can't know. You just have to take it on faith. Well, no. That's not how Paul uses the word. When you see the Apostle Paul using the word mystery, the parameters he gives to the word, it's just the word itself, is some wisdom, so information, that was hidden has since been revealed at some point. Now, the word in and of itself is not going to tell you what the wisdom was. It's not going to tell you how long it's been hidden or where it's been hidden. And it's not necessarily going to tell you when it was revealed. Just the word in and of itself. Everybody understand that? Okay? The word in and of itself, you got to have a context to tell us what the wisdom is, where it was hidden and for how long, and when it got revealed. Yet a context is going to tell you all that. Any questions on that so far? Okay, very good. Therefore, when we're saying the theme of Paul's ministry is the mystery, we're saying that when you look at Paul's ministry, he calls it the preaching of Jesus Christ. So obviously focusing on a person, but preaching that person according to the revelation of the mystery. So according to some wisdom that was hidden, that's now been revealed. Okay, everybody got that? So when you think of the word mystery, you want to think of those three aspects, all of which will help you define not the content of what the mystery is, but how Paul uses the word.
So the preaching of Jesus Christ is about him, not the teaching he had, because he didn't mention it.
Very good, very good. What Mark said is so the phrase, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to Revelation mystery, is not what Christ taught about information, but rather some information revealed about the person of Christ. Is that kind of what you said? Okay, great. Yes?
This would be a good time to close the part.
It would be, yes. You're right. That's good. It would be helpful to let me just do that real quick and understand what you're saying there. Okay. Now, we'll come back to that in just a second. But keep that in mind. So again, let me show you now how, in some other passages, how Paul is going to you can see that when he uses the word mystery, how that those three parameters really is how he defines the word itself. Look over with me to like Romans chapter 16. Look at Romans chapter number 16. Romans 16:25, the very passage we're studying. It says, "Now to him that has the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest." Okay, do you see the three aspects of how to define the word mystery? Where are they? The one aspect would be something hidden. Okay, there it is. Kept secret. Very good. Do you see it? How about wisdom or the information? Well, he says the preaching of Jesus Christ. So it's information about Christ, right? And made known, hence it's revealed. You see that? There they are again. All three aspects there. See that again? Okay. Look over to Ephesians chapter 3 here. All we're doing at this point, we're not trying to give the content of what Paul refers to as the mystery. That's not what we're doing so far. All we're doing is making sure that we have a proper, a scriptural, a Pauline understanding of the word mystery. Now, you do understand that Paul's not the only one in the Bible that uses the word mystery, right? The Lord Jesus Christ himself uses the word mysteries, plural. We'll get there if we don't run out of time today. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." Jump down, if you would, to verse 9. "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God," and so on. Okay, do you see the three aspects again? And if so, what are they? Okay, so hidden. What phrase or verse would clearly teach that aspect? There's actually two in this section here. Not made known and verse 9.
Hidden
God. Okay, so obviously you've got that aspect, the hidden part. It's not made known and hidden in God. Okay? And then another aspect is what?
He was made manifest.
Look at the three aspects here. It's hidden, it was wisdom or information, it's been revealed. So the three aspects, what are they? We already said the hidden one, hidden in God, not made known. We're not looking for the content of the mystery. All we're looking for is the parameters to make sure we're defining the word correctly. So it was hidden, not made known, hidden in God. What about the wisdom part? Well, obviously there's information here, right? This is about what God's doing, information, the preaching of Christ. The mystery, okay? The information is being made known, right? So you have wisdom. You have God's wisdom. And then how that by revelation He made known. So you've got the revealed part. And if He's making known, He's obviously making information known. He's making wisdom known. You see the three aspects again. Knowledge. There's information made known. Now revealed. See, there's the reveal part. You see the three aspects again there? Okay. So pretty consistently, when you see how the Apostle Paul uses the word mystery, you're going to consistently see somewhere in the context those three aspects as to how he thought about the word, just the word mystery, the definition of it, the parameters. Okay? It was wisdom, information, hidden, and now revealed. The word in and of itself, just by itself, is not going to tell you necessarily what the wisdom is. The word by itself, in and of itself, is not going to tell you where or how long it was hidden. The word just by itself, in and of itself, is not going to tell you when it was revealed. What do you need to figure those things out? You need context. Right? And that's true of any word that you use, right? The word has a definition, and you need a context in which to get it. See that? So you're going to need Paul's epistles to find out what Paul means by the mystery. You're going to need Paul to tell you where it was hidden, how long it's been hidden, what the wisdom is, the actual content of it, and when it was revealed. Any questions on that? See that? Okay, by the way, that's all, it was kind of, a lot of it was given right here. We just read it, okay? Such as, in this context, does Paul tell us where it was hidden? Yeah, everybody see that? Okay. Does Paul tell us what some of the information is? Manifold wisdom of God. But what is it? What is it? Gentiles being fellow heirs is the immediate context here. So the one body, the body of Christ. Okay, what's that? Partakers in Christ with His body and so forth. Okay, and then does this context fill in the parameter of when it was revealed as compared to when it was not revealed? Where? Give me the verse. Where? How that by revelation He made known to me, Paul. So it was revealed to Paul first, and it was not made known to men's, how's that? of other ages. See that? Everybody see that there? Go to Colossians. Go to Colossians chapter number 1. So that's why I say you need a context to detail those three parameters. The word just by itself alone is not necessarily going to give you the details of those three parameters. What did I say? Colossians 1? Okay, look at Colossians 1, verse 24. And it says, "...who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for His body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you were to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints." Okay, do you see all three aspects there again? What are they? Tell me what they are. The three aspects are hidden, wisdom, revealed. So in the verse, what are the three aspects? Yeah, look at verse 26. Even the mystery which hath been what? Okay, so there's the hidden part. Hidden from ages and generations, but now is what? Made manifest. There's the revealed part. So what's the other one we're missing?
The
The information itself, the wisdom part, which is in the context here. He's making known the dispensation of God, etc. See that? So again, I want, and I know I'm repeating myself, the parameters in Paul's writings that the Apostle Paul puts on the word mystery, just the word itself, it has three aspects. It's information, called wisdom, that was hidden, that's now been revealed. Okay? The word by itself, the word mystery by itself, in and of itself, does not give you the details of those parameters. You need the context to get the details of it. Yes, exactly. It's like a really rough outline, and you got to use some other verses to come and flesh the details in. Now, I mentioned a moment ago that the Apostle Paul is not the only one in the Bible that uses the word mystery. Look over to Matthew chapter 13. And actually, to be very specific, and we do want to be specific, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself really doesn't even use the word mystery singular. In this context, He uses the word mysteries plural. It is Matthew 13, and yes, it is verse 11. It says, He answered and said, and actually read verse 10. The disciples came and said unto Him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is given not. Now, look, so again, the use of the, even in this context, the word mysteries doesn't mean something, you know, mysterious. It doesn't mean something unknowable. It doesn't mean something, you know, foggy, you can't never figure it out. Even in this context, it bears its wisdom that was hidden, but it's been revealed. Even in this context, it has those three parameters. Yes, exactly. You see how you have to let the context give the details of the parameters, but the parameters are still there. So the context of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, what's the wisdom? What's the wisdom about? Kingdom of heaven. Was it hidden? Say it now, Beth. Hidden? Hidden from some, revealed to others. And we're going to see another verse here in just a moment where it was hidden. And now when is it being revealed? Well, at that time, Christ is revealing it to the apostles here. See that? Okay? So even in the prophetic program, when you see the word mystery, and this again, this is mysteries, it still carries with it those aspects, but you have to have the context to define and fill in what it's talking about. Okay? Now, look with me a little bit further ahead. Same chapter, verse 34. Verse 34. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables. Without a parable spake He not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. All right. Once again, in the prophetic program, Christ spoke about the mysteries. Yes, in the thank you. In the prophetic program, Christ spoke about the mysteries relative to Israel's program. And in that passage, was that information hidden?
Yeah.
Where?
In parables.
In parables and in the Old Testament. In fact, he quotes, look at verse again, verse 35. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, saying, and he's going to quote Psalm 78. Psalm 78, verse 2. Psalm 78. Write that down next to your verse, Psalm 78. Psalm 78, verse 2. So when Christ was using the word mysteries about the kingdom of heaven, you know, it was hidden. Hidden in parables written in the Old Testament. It was wisdom about the kingdom. That's what this chart is going to represent. You've got Israel's kingdom program here, right?
Kingdom of heaven on earth.
That's exactly right. And it was revealed. In that right there, Christ was revealing it to him. He's the Messiah. He's revealing it to him. But that's different than the parameters that the Apostle Paul, when he talks about the mystery, the details of those three parameters are different than the details of the three parameters used by Christ. See that? When Paul talks about the mystery, he's not talking about the Kingdom of Heaven program. Rather, he said there's some other information, some wisdom, that God kept secret, like the chart covered it over. We just now revealed it, right? So it's kept secret. It was hidden where? In God, it said, Ephesians 3, from before the foundation of the world. This one says from the foundation of the world. See that? One in Matthew 13 here. And it's now been made known. Through Paul's ministry. See that? Okay, any questions on that? I realize that we're out of time, but I have one other quick thing I want to do. Any questions on that? Do we need to clarify that for anybody?
Aspect number one, seven.
No, I'm sorry. Okay, good. I'm sorry. Yeah, let me do this. All we've done so far is simply define how the word mystery is actually used. Now I'm going to get to the seven aspects. Okay? So what I did is I had to backtrack there. So thanks for clarifying that, Mark. I appreciate that. Now, so as used by the Apostle Paul, there are seven aspects to the mystery. Seven things that make up the mystery all together. You have to have all seven things to get the full picture. All right? Number one is the dispensation of grace itself. The actual interruption of prophecy and ushering in of the dispensation of grace. So the dispensation of grace itself was a mystery. It was wisdom hidden in God and now revealed to Paul. Okay? Number two, I'm going to do this quickly, and we're going to detail these next week, okay? So I'm going to do this quickly. Now, during the dispensation of grace, what is the purpose of the dispensation of grace? What's the purpose of it? What's the purpose of it? Resulting in? Resulting in? What's the purpose of the dispensation of grace in time? The purpose is the formation, there you go, of the body of Christ. That's the purpose of it. Well, the body of Christ itself was a mystery. Okay? The body of Christ itself was a mystery. Now, number three. How does somebody get in the body? That's right. Paul says the mystery of the gospel. Okay, so there is a secret aspect. There's an aspect to the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ that was unprophesied. Okay, so to review real quickly, the dispensation of grace itself was a mystery. During the dispensation of grace, God is forming the body of Christ, which was a mystery. The way that people get into the body of Christ is because the secret aspect of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, it allows anyone, Jew and Gentile, to get in the body of Christ. Okay, that's number three. Okay, number four is the duration of the program that blindness in part is happening in Israel until, see that? I don't want you to be ignorant of this mystery, blindness until. So there was a secret aspect about the duration. Romans 11, 25. Okay, so you've got the duration. Well, what else would be a mystery? Okay, related to that, I'm a little before that, but really the same idea is the what? Yeah, there you go, the ending. And when I say ending, I don't mean the exact time and date. I just mean the rapture, the catching away, that the ending itself. Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. So there was a secret aspect to the ending of the dispensation of grace, how it's going to end. We refer to it as the catching away. Okay? So that's number five. All right. Number six. Okay, now, number six, Ken, you said something about the heavenly places. I think, Christy, you said as well. So you've got God's eternal purpose. Just go E-P-N. The HP. What's the HP? Heavenly places, okay? That was a mystery. This eternal purpose that God had for and in the heavenly places. That's an aspect of the mystery. You have to have that. Okay? And then number seven is what Paul calls the mystery of godliness. In other words, during the dispensation of grace, how God is actually working in the body of Christ during the dispensation of grace. Okay? You need all seven of those to really... All those comprise the overall theme when Paul says the mystery. Now, in some contexts, Paul is using the word mystery and he's being very specific, like maybe just about the body of Christ, such as in Ephesians 3, verse 6. And sometimes he's thinking of, you know, two or three aspects. Sometimes he's thinking about just one aspect, okay? Any questions on that? Again, I know we're out of time here, but go ahead. I'd probably have to modify that a little bit if I said that, yeah. The reason I say that is because every word in Romans through Philemon does contain prophecy information. Because Paul goes back and says, as it is written, such as in Romans 9:10-11. But Paul is giving the aspect of how to look at it from the dispensation of grace. So certainly in that aspect, it would be that. Okay? It's only in Paul's epistles that you find that mystery. That's the way to say it. Only in Paul's epistles do you find the revelation of the mystery. Now, in Paul's epistles, you find other information. You find information about prophecy. But only in Paul's epistles do you find the details about the revelation of the mystery. That's absolutely true.
That godliness referred part to his intervention today. The way
he... Yeah, how he's working today. The question was the mystery of godliness. That's a reference to how God is actually at work today in the body of Christ. Okay? Any questions on that? Okay, we're going to detail these starting next week, so come back, bring your friends. Right? All right, very good, thanks.